Find the scripture for today in the bulletin, 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. And again, I'll be reading out of the New American Standard Bible. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. May the Lord bless us as we continue in his word. This past Wednesday, I performed a funeral down in Caldwell for my father's first cousin. As Janet pointed out to me, that makes him also my cousin, would have been a second cousin to me. And since I've been back in this area, I've been called upon several times for funerals of relatives. I know Jack can relate to that. It's a hazard or a privilege, depending on how you look at it, of being where you grew up. This gentleman was a couple of years older than my father, and his wife had died some 9 years earlier. His youngest daughter is my age and one of my best friends from high school, and a good number of our classmates came to the visitation and the funeral. And the whole experience brought home to me how time is moving on. I remembered when I was a child, my parents were a couple of giants, twice my size. There wasn't anything they couldn't do or didn't know. Then I got a little bit older, that aura of infallibility started to fade, and I thought maybe they don't know everything after all. Then I grew up some more, finished college, married, had children of my own who looked to me just as like my I had looked to my parents. When they figured out I didn't know everything, they grew up, and now they're just about all grown up. And I looked at my parents and I saw that the roles had reversed. Instead of being the weak one needing their help, now they were weak and needed mine. Then it just struck me that I'm a lot closer to retirement now than I am to my high school graduation, and it seems like just yesterday that I graduated from high school. One of these days, my children will be the strong ones and I'll be weak. And this cycle will go on and repeat itself. One generation passes from the earth, another's born to take its place. In our passage today, David called this the way of all the earth. That is such a powerful, descriptive phrase, the way of all the earth. The little shepherd boy who killed the mighty giant with a slingshot and a stone, who ruled God's people well and who sang his praises in beautiful psalms, now lay dying. He called his son Solomon to him to give him his final words. On this All Saints Day observance, let's consider these last words of David and look at David's end of life. After Absalom was killed, David returned to Jerusalem and lived out his life there. But things weren't totally smooth for him. A man called Sheba rebelled against him and caused a lot of trouble before David's forces were able to defeat him. And Satan prompted David to conduct a census of the fighting men of Israel, even though the nation was at peace. For that, God inflicted a plague upon the nation, which he cut short out of his mercy. But now David had grown old and weak. He couldn't stay warm, no matter how big a fire they built in his fireplace or how many blankets they piled upon him. Finally, his servants hit upon the idea of getting a young maiden to be his nurse who would lay there in the bed with him to keep him warm with her own heat. And that worked for David. He finally was warm. God had made it clear to David that Solomon was to be the king after he died, and this wasn't popular universally with his family. Solomon was one of the youngest, if not the youngest, son of David. You can imagine how that went over with the older ones. One of them, Adonijah, decided that he was going to do something about it. Adonijah was David's fourth son. He was born after Absalom. And it appears that he learned a lot from his brother Absalom and had a lot in common with him. He was a strong and handsome man like his brother. And he took a page out of Absalom's book. He used to go around Jerusalem riding around in a chariot with 50 men running in front of him, just like Absalom did. He decided that he was going to be king, not his little brother Solomon. He had no trouble gathering some important allies. Joab, remember David's nephew, the general of his army? He gave his loyalty to Adonijah. And with Joab on his side, he'd be able to rally the army and have them with him. And Abiathar, one of the two chief priests, also backed Adonijah. He could give God's legitimacy to Adonijah's actions. But there were some who would not consent to this, did not go along with it. Zadok, the other priest, he refused to go along with it. Nathan, the prophet who had confronted David after his sin with Bathsheba, he refused. And Benaiah, the leader of David's mighty men, the core of his army, stood firm behind David's choice of Solomon. As his father lay dying, Adonijah decided to go ahead and proclaim himself king. He got Joab and Abiathar to accompany him to a sacrifice. And he didn't invite those people that would have been critical of it, Nathan, Benaiah, and Solomon. They were left out. Adonijah declared himself king and arranged a parade to bring himself into the city with glory. Nathan heard the commotion and he ran quickly to find Bathsheba. He told her what had happened and warned her that she and Solomon were in danger. One of Adonijah's first acts, if he ever were to take the throne, would be to kill them as rivals. Nathan said, "You better go as quick as you can over to David and tell him what's going on and get him to reaffirm Solomon." When David heard about it, he called for Zadok, Nathan, and Benaiah. And he told them to take Solomon, put him on David's own mule, and take him to Gihon. And there, Zadok, you anoint him with oil and declare him king in my place. Then sound the trumpet and announce the new king to the whole nation. Well, they did just what the king asked. They took Solomon, accompanied by the Kerethites and the Pelethites, two groups of David's best troops. Adonijah was sitting at his coronation feast when he heard the noise. And when everybody heard the message, it was interesting. Everybody took off and they got out of there as quick as they could. And they went back to their homes and left Adonijah all by himself. They didn't want to be known as having participated in this. And now the tables were turned. Adonijah was deathly afraid. He realized that he had stepped way, way, way out of bounds. And just as he would have certainly killed Solomon, now Solomon will probably kill him. So Adonijah ran to the tabernacle, grabbed hold of the horns of the altar, an ancient way of asking for mercy. Solomon showed him mercy. He said if he proves himself to be a good man, nothing will happen to him. If he does evil, then he'll die. So Solomon became king even before his father died. After this, David's last moments did come, and he sent for Solomon to speak to him one last time. He said, "I'm going the way of all the earth." Joshua had used this exact same phrase many years before when it was his time to die. He told Solomon, "You be a man. Be strong and courageous. You're going to face many challenges, but trust in the Lord and he'll see you through." He urged Solomon to obey the Lord and to follow his commands. And he had some advice for dealing with some people. He said, "You watch out for Joab. Don't let him die a peaceful death. He killed two good men, Abner and Amasa, and he proved his character by backing your brother Adonijah. Don't let him live." And he said, "Show kindness to the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, a man who, when he was 80 years old, when he heard that David had been run out of Jerusalem, he came to him with food and all kinds of supplies to help him in his time of need. And David wanted to reward him by taking him back to Jerusalem and giving him a life of luxury for the rest of his days. Barzillai declined. He said, "I'm too old to enjoy this, but won't you bless my sons?" Well, and so David said, "You fulfill my promise to Barzillai's sons." And he told Solomon, "You watch out for Shimei, the Benjamite, who threw rocks at me. I swore that he would not die, but just don't trust him. Be wise and watch out for him." And then David died and he was buried, and Solomon was ready to become king on his own. He had to act without his father's advice. What are some lessons we learn from all of this? Well, the way of all the earth back then in David's day is still the way of all the earth today. Death has been the most certain reality in life since the days of Adam and Eve. Ecclesiastes 8, 7 and 8 says, "If no one knows what will happen, who can tell him when it will happen? No man has authority to restrain the wind with the wind, or authority over the day of death, and there is no discharge in the time of war, and evil will not deliver those who practice it." If you can't escape death, then the logical thing to do is to prepare for it. When we think of preparing for death, we think of things like estate planning, wills and trusts, getting your affairs in order. But the most important preparation is certainly to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To realize that we're all sinners and we all need that salvation that comes only through Christ. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." So before you die, be sure that you know Jesus. If you have any questions about it, I'll be around to help. Another important preparation is for your family. Again, you know, that's why you prepare your estate, get your will and all that. But often we neglect our spiritual legacy. David did very poorly in this area. Three of his sons, Amnon, Absalom, and now Adonijah, were ruined. One daughter, Tamar, was devastated. Solomon is his one hope, and he pours his heart out to him. Patrick Henry, one of the great founding fathers of our nation, the man who said, "Give me liberty or give me death," was a devout Christian. In his last will and testament, after all of his assets were dealt with, he had this put into his will. He said, "I have disposed of all my property to my family. There is one more thing I wish I could give to them, and that is the Christian religion. If they had that, and I had not given them one cent, they would be rich. If they have not that, and I had given them the world, they would be poor." So look to your children. What kind of a message are you sending to them about the importance of your faith? Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up." D. Stuart Briscoe was the pastor of the Elmbrook Church in suburban Milwaukee back when I was ministering in the area. Kind of a humbling experience. I had this little nice little country church, and people were using my parking lot to form up carpools to go to his mega church. But he was a great preacher and a very strong man of God. I love this thing that he wrote in one of his books. He was from England. He says, "When I moved to the U.S., I was impressed with the number of total strangers who visited my home and to wish me well. They all sold insurance. One day, my visitor was talking about the necessity to be prudent in the preparation for all possibilities. 'If something should happen to you, Mr. Briscoe,' he started to say, but I interrupted him with, 'Please don't say that, it upsets me.' He was a little startled, but tried again, 'But with all due respect, sir, we must be ready if something should happen to us.' 'Don't say that,' I insisted. He looked totally bewildered and said, 'I don't understand what I said to upset you.' 'Then I'll tell you,' I replied. 'It upsets me that you talk about life's only certainty as if it's a possibility. Death isn't a possibility, it's a certainty. You don't say if, you say when, whenever death is the subject.'" Stuart Briscoe's absolutely right. It's not if, it's when. It's coming to all of us. The only right thing to do then is to be ready. Not just with a good estate plan, but especially with a good life plan, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior and sharing that spiritual wealth with your family. Let's pray.